Welcome back to Gaelic Games Fan TV. It's the preview show for this weekend's All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship action. We're going to be looking ahead to five games taking place in the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship taking place this weekend. We'll be looking ahead to the Joe McDonagh as well, but primarily focusing on both Munster and Leinster. Big, big games taking place across both provinces, in particular Clare versus Limerick. I think that stands out as the game that absolutely everybody is excited for. You've got Waterford versus Cork as well, which I'm sure Matthew will have a few opinions on. And then, of course, as well, in Leinster, Wexford-Dublin, I think, is the game that really stands out in Leinster, because Wexford and Dublin have been two sides very neck and neck in terms of competing for that third place position in the Leinster Championship. And then we'll also be looking at Galway-Carlow, Antrim-Galway, and a few of the games in the Joe McDonagh as well. Matthew, first of all, the Hurling Championship is here, which is absolutely brilliant. And the Munster Hurling Championship, like, it might just be the best competition we have in the GAA, in all honesty, like, especially when you look at the competitive nature of it and everything else. So great to have it all back.
It is. And thanks for having me on again, Aaron. Yeah, in fairness, the Munster Championship, it is probably the best championship in the Gaelic Games at the moment. When you look at the football championships, it all seems one-sided. And then you have the Leinster Championship, two-sided more than anything in Galway and Kilkenny. And then you have this month's championship, and it's so hard to call. Even now, like, I'm trying to think in my head that Clare and Limerick will probably finish at the top two. Then you have Cork and Tipperary that will probably fight for third place. And then in 50, you'd probably have Waterford. But then again, Waterford could easily turn it on. Clare could inherit the Waterford gene and do well in the league and then do very badly in the championship. Limerick, there was a hint there that they weren't up to their usual standards in the league, especially with the likes of Sean Finn at centre-back, Dick Lannan not fully fit. Darragh Donovan's going to miss the first two rounds as well. So there is question marks over Limerick too. You have Tipperary there, very inconsistent. Like, the free taking is a big issue there. And then you have Cork, who did very well, to be fair to them, at the end of the league. You have goal scorers there like Alan Connolly. But can they produce it against a Limerick, against a Clare, against a Tipperary? And that will be the main acid test for Cork. But of course, they have to beat Waterford this weekend before they can even think of the big dog. So, a lot to look forward to this weekend. And with all the football kind of one-sided games last weekend, isn't it refreshing now to see hurling games that you don't know what way it's going to go?
Absolutely, yeah. And I suppose we better start with the big one, Clare against Limerick, taking place in Ennis. Absolutely huge game for multiple different reasons. Obviously, massive rivals. I think the fact that Limerick are obviously bidding for six Munsters in a row, bidding for five in a row in the All-Ireland Series, is really what delves into it. Clare have won just one of the last six games against Limerick, dating back as far as 2018. And that was obviously the game that took place in the Gaelic grounds last year. So, I mean, like, when you're talking about big matches, it really doesn't get bigger than this.
It doesn't, no. And this is an absolutely huge game. And it probably epitomises the hugeness of the game, that it is sold out in Ennis. And apparently there is rumours that they're going to increase the capacity of Cusack Park. I don't know, can you do that? But they're going to do it anyway. It's going to be a massive game. No doubts about it. And these are probably the two best teams in Munster. When you look at the form book over the last few seasons, Clare beat Limerick, obviously, in the round robin stage, and then the Munster final. Arguably, they were denied a late free to equalise the game and bring extra time. So they'll have a lot at the back of their minds and thinking, we could go on and beat Limerick. A lot of big questions for both sides going into this one, including injuries. Number one for Limerick, just Sean Finn start as full-back? I doubt it. You'd probably start Dan Morrissey there. You'd probably start Mike Casey there if he's fit. Does Declan Halland go into centre-back despite being unfit? Or do you put William O'Donoghue there? Who's going to come in for Darragh Donovan in midfields? Where does Cathal O'Neill play? Does he play around wing-back? Does he play as in the forward line? Does Garrod Hegarty get his form back? There's a lot of questions to be answered in this game. And a lot of questions as well. The main question for Clare is Tony Kelly. Is he going to come back into the team? Because he hasn't been visible in the league. Is he going to come back for this game? Or is he going to be on the bench? Because Clare really did well in the league without him. You still have Shane O'Donnell coming on and adding extra explosiveness in the final. You still have young players like Shane Meehan who could come in and do a job. You still have Davy Fitzgerald, who was absolutely breathtaking in the league. You have Aidan McCarthy, who was very good at the forward line. You have the likes of Ian Galvin there, who's very, very consistent. You have Peter Duggan. So, yeah, Clare have some excellent players. And there's a question, does Tony Kelly, even, let's say, 80% fit Tony Kelly, come straight back into the team? Brian Owen's going to answer that question now on Sunday. So, yeah, a lot of questions go into it, game. And above all else, the atmosphere in Cusack Park is going to be absolutely electric. And, yeah, can't wait for it.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at it here. Like, Aidan McCarthy, their top scorer so far with 236. He's been absolutely outstanding. Mark Rogers has obviously been very good. Davy Fitzgerald, arguably the player of the league. Yeah, he was very, very good as well. John Conlon at centre-back, very impressive. So, like, is there almost an argument that Clare have looked so strong, so good, that there really isn't any rush to bring Tony Kelly in? And having won the league without Tony Kelly, if they were then got to go and turn over Limerick, like, that would be some statement to be the All-Ireland champions without potentially your best player.
It'd be massive. And it would actually just show that Clare are more suited even without Tony Kelly in the team. And it brings it back to many arguments down through the years. If you do it without your best players, then Limerick have done that for years. Let's not forget. Like, Cian Lynch has been injured in and out of the team. We've had a few players. Declan Hannah was injured all last season. They still cope without him, putting William O'Donoghue centre-back. If Clare were to cope without Tony Kelly and beat Limerick, it would be some statement of intent. Because, like, Clare, arguably, are the second-best team in Ireland. Yes, Kilkenny have reached the final two seasons in a row. But at the same time, Clare are the team that put it up to Limerick the most times. When you look at it down through the years, when you look at their four previous championship meetings, them separately, they drew in Cusack Park, where Aaron Fitzgerald got a foul off Garrod Hagerty and Garrod Hagerty got a red card. That was a draw. Then in the Munster final, it went extra time because of a draw, because of Tony Kelly's sideline puck. And Clare could have easily won that game because that was one of the best Munster final performances ever from a losing side. Then they beat Limerick in their backyard last season. And then last year, they could have easily got a free to equalise and bring it to extra time again. So Clare have been really, really close to Limerick. I think their issue was to get over Kilkenny, and they have done so twice in the league. So it would give them a lot of confidence going into this season as well. And at the same time, Clare haven't won a Munster since the 90s as well. So it's a huge opportunity with this crop of players to go on and win a Munster championship. But then at the same time, the question is, would you bring back Tony Kelly? Yes, it's Limerick. But then if play devil's advocate for a bit for Clare. If they lose this game, they'll go on to the next game. I believe it's in Parky Keeve against Cork. If they lose that, then they're in bother. So they'd want to start off like a house in fire. They'd want to start off with a win. And maybe Tony Kelly coming back. You know, I think probably the perfect middle ground here would be to put Tony Kelly on the bench. If things go wrong in the first half, bring him on. And I think Clare will probably do that. Brian Lowen will stick to those beliefs as well. And it'll be just very interesting to see how fit Tony actually is going into this game. Because obviously he got a very, very nasty injury in the league. He didn't play for the whole league. He got a big rest over it now. How will he fare being not 100% fit going into this game against Limerick? That's the massive question to ask.
Yeah, I think leaving him on the bench probably makes the most sense. And then you can bring him on, you know, with 10, 15 minutes to go, and that can really sort of make a big impact in fairness. How can Clare hurt this Limerick side, do you think? Because obviously Limerick, as you said, bidden for 6 in a row Munster titles, 5 in a row, obviously, in the All-Ireland series. They're on an incredible run, as we very well know. They seem unbeatable, albeit Clare did beat them in the Gaelic rounds last year. So how did this Clare team hurt this Limerick team? What can they do to topple this Limerick team in this game?
I think a few things, and Kilkenny did this in the semi-final of the league, push up at the puck-outs, because Darragh Dunham's not there anymore. He won't be able to get clean ball, and Clare can attack their midfield that way. If you put David Fitzgerald into midfield, and that's a Limerick midfield less Darragh Donovan, William O'Donoghue, will be interesting to see how he develops even without Darragh Donovan in the team, and who will go into midfield. Will Cian Lynch pop back into midfield? But then that takes the role of the forward then. Who will go into centre forward? Will Donoghue O'Dolly be trusted in this Limerick team? Like, I think they need to get their matchups right as well, Clare. Like, Adam Hogan did an excellent job on the Kilkenny forward line in the league final. It'll be interesting to see who Adam Hogan, Conor Cleary, all them great Clare defenders actually go on. Will they go on Aaron Gillan? Will they go on Peter Casey? Or even Seamus Flanagan? I'd imagine Seamus Flanagan and Conor Cleary are going to have a tussle on Sunday. That's going without saying to the full back and the full forward there as well. Like, Garrod Hegarty getting his face. Clare have done that in the previous few seasons, and Garrod Hegarty has got annoyed. That's one area that Clare could target as well. And another thing, this really depends on the Limerick lineup. Who will they start as fullback? If they start Sean Finn at fullback, I think Clare have massive opportunities to get joy there. And what Kilkenny did, which was very, very clever at the league semi-final, was puck the ball long into TJ Reid. And I'd imagine for Clare, Shane O'Donnell would be in a full forward because he's back to full fitness and he came out in the league final. If Clare get quality ball at the Shane O'Donnell and he gets a spin on Sean Finn in the full at fullback, if Limerick play him there, then that could cause all sorts of havoc for Limerick. But I honestly don't think Limerick will play him there. I think they'll play him at cornerback. I think they'll go with Dan Morrissey and Mike Casey at fullback. Barry Nash probably a cornerback if he's fit enough. The interesting aspect as well, who starts at centre back? Will it be Declan Hannan? Will it be the trial one in Cahill O'Neill? Will it be someone else at centre back? Will they put William O'Donoghue? But they can't afford to put Will O'Donoghue there because of the Darragh Donovan situation. So maybe Clare can go for their half back line as well. That could be a weakness that Limerick that needs targeting there as well. So yeah, there's a lot of angles that Clare could do, but I think it all depends on what team Limerick actually go with. Later on in the week, it'll probably obviously be announced, but it would be so interesting. I'll be intrigued to discover whether Sean Finn would start at fullback. Will they start Declan Hannan? They're the two main questions, and they'd be two kind of areas where Clare could challenge Limerick, and obviously depending on the team.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and I suppose for Limerick, like, they didn't obviously have Dan Morrissey the last day as well, like against Kilkenny. So obviously him coming back in will be huge. So it'll be interesting to see, like, where does Dan Morrissey play? Where does Sean Finn play? Because I suppose both of them, and obviously Aaron Costello was in there, cornerback. Like, Limerick's fullback line looks so vulnerable, as you said, against Kilkenny. And like, that's so rare. Like, you don't normally see Limerick get dominated as much as they did. So like, at the same time, like, you'd have to see a response here from John Coyley's men, because I can't remember the last time Limerick had back-to-back performances like that, as an example. So you might have to go back as far back as 2017 or 2018, certainly in this dominant spell. Anyway, Limerick haven't really had back-to-back games where they've been absolutely dominated.
You could even think back to last year, and I know there was the 4 in a row and things like that, but there was the game where they lost to Clare and they drew against Tipperary, where they were very, very lucky to come out of Sippel Stadium with a draw. So you could point towards them two games. Even the 3 in a row, the game against Waterford as well, the first game in Munster. Waterford are not that good. We know that as a fact. But Waterford could have beat them that day. A David Fitzgerald Waterford side, they could have beaten Limerick easily. So my point is, like, Limerick need to be honest for the first whistle. And again, it's so crucial for both of these sides to get a win, just to start off on the right side. Because if you suddenly go into the second game in a Munster Championship campaign needing a win, you're under pressure then. I think both sides will honestly go for this game as well. And another thing where Clare could target Kilkenny is, Limerick, is the midfield. Kilkenny did that in the league semi-final in Super Value Park at Kyiv, and Limerick were actually misplacing passes. It was unusual what Limerick were actually doing. Like, Keane Lynch was very, very poor that day. William O'Donoghue wasn't his usual self. And that was mainly because of the pressure that Kilkenny exerted on them. Clare need to exert the same pressure come Sunday, and there's no doubts about it. But then again, we've seen this Limerick team struggle in the league. Then once it comes to Championship, bang, they're right on form. But then again, when you look at it last year again, they only really got into full peak Limerick, when you think about it, in the second half of the All-Ireland semi-final against Galway, or the moment that Henry Shefflin said, "We're leaving one up top." That was the moment where Limerick actually went into life. The Munster Championship, I don't think Limerick were up at their top speed, really. Once it reached the All-Ireland series, there was no stopping them after that. And I think the main point in this, and I think a lot of people have said this on podcasts or whatnot, if Limerick get knocked out of Munster, I think that's the period where Limerick have to get knocked out. Because if you don't get them knocked out of Munster, they will go into the All-Ireland series and they'll breeze through everybody with their performances in Croke Park. So I think the main objective for a Clare, a Tipperary or a Cork later on in the season, not just this game on Sunday, is to just take out Limerick early. Just save all the hard work for later on in the season. Cork could have done it last year. Limerick got away with it. Could they be caught this year? It remains to be seen. But then again, you look at Clare, they won the league title. But when you look at their last two league winners, Waterford, they were touted as the second best team in the country, if you like, behind Limerick. They finished near the bottom of the Munster group afterwards, only winning one game. Limerick last season, as I mentioned previously, were very, very poor, three out of the four games in particular. So Clare cannot fall into that trap, thinking, okay, we've won the league, you know, we're the be alls and ends alls. But at the same time, you looked at Clare's temperaments after the league final. They weren't over celebrating. They were saying in the post match interviews as well, Shane O'Donnell, Brian Lowe, and all them, that look, it's a great to get a national trophy. It's great to get a league title. Next game, Limerick. That is the main game for us, and I think that's what Clare were focusing on. Even after the before the Kilkenny league final, they didn't care. They did obviously care the national trophy was on the line, but the main aim in their heads was to get ready for the 21st of April, and that was always going to be in their heads, no matter what how the league turned out.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, and just looking at Limerick, coming into this game, one loss in the last 16 Munster championship games, one draw in that period as well. Obviously, that goes back to both the Clare defeat and obviously the Tipperary draw. As you said before, like coming in on the back of quite a heavy defeat, but at the same time, their overall league campaign was still fairly impressive. Like, you had the likes of Adam English, Cathal O'Neill, Donegal Dáiling, like three very young players obviously coming in. Cathal O'Neill's obviously been there a few years. Like, I suppose for Limerick, though, like with the fact that they were beaten by Kilkenny, as we said before, like it would be some statement for them to go and beat Clare in their own backyard, especially after Clare beating Limerick in their own backyard. Like, I feel like if Limerick lose, it's not the end of the world, but I feel like if Clare lose, it'd be a massive, massive setback, because it feels like a massive opportunity for Clare to beat Limerick while they're vulnerable. But it would probably be vintage Limerick to go there, silence the doubters a little bit, and put in a statement victory, because how many times have we seen that with Limerick down the years?
As TJ Ryan said to me, I mean, that article for the Limerick Voice newspaper, they've made the impossible possible, these Limerick players. They've made the fans believe. And that is because, not just because of their quality and things like that, it's because of their hard work on the training ground. And it's their hard work in the field as well. And this is the standard that Clare need to get to beat Limerick. I think that's well documented. Clare need to get in Limerick's faces from the off. If they don't get in Limerick's face from the off, that will give Limerick the oxygen to keep going in the first half and maybe strike a few goals in the first half to maybe even end Clare. I don't think Brian Lowen is going to go into this game thinking whoopee-doo or whatever. I do think Clare are just going to go for it in the first few minutes. And it'll be interesting to see how Limerick actually respond in their full back line and their half back line. Will they respond to the challenge? Who knows? But it's important for Clare just to stamp their authority on this game, because if they don't stamp their authority, Limerick could trample all over them. And we've seen that in the past with this Limerick team. Even when the form hasn't necessarily been good from them, they still bite back. They are an amazing team for a reason. And they're going for five in a row for a reason. They are just an incredible hurling team. And Clare would need a brilliant, brilliant performance. I think, honestly, it's a sort of situation. Limerick can win the game at 75-80%. Clare need to get above 90% to win this game because of the opponents that they are facing. So it's a massive game. It is massive for both sides, particularly Clare, maybe to stamp their authority on the equation as well. But let's not forget, if Limerick lose this game, they're suddenly on the back foot of staying in Munster. And like playing David's advocate, Limerick could have a hard year in the Munster Championship after a defeat to Clare. Like, let's not forget, they still have to go to Cork away. They still have to, okay, they're playing Waterford and Tipperary at home, but still there's very tough games along the track, even after Clare, for Limerick. So it's crucial that they win this game as well.
Yeah, like, and what's interesting about Limerick as well is, like you obviously mentioned, the last time they obviously got beat by Clare, they went out and played Tipperary a week later, and that's actually the same again. Like, they've obviously got Clare away, and then they've got Tipperary at home straight after this one. So it's absolutely massive from a Limerick perspective. Like, what can Limerick do, do you think, to hurt Clare, sort of looking at it in terms of a flip reversal? Because Clare, obviously have, you know, obviously unbeaten in the league. They've looked absolutely unplayable at times. Aidan McCarthy's been outstanding. Davy Fitzgerald, maybe Tony Kelly to come off the bench as well. So, like, is there anything Limerick can bring that Clare won't be able to deal with, do you think, on Sunday?
I think Shane O'Donnell is probably the key. Come back into it. If you're talking about new players coming in from the league campaign, I do think he is a massive player. He's a speedy player more than anything. Shane Meehan, good young player. If he comes onto the pitch, like, he could cause havoc in that Limerick team as well. Dermot Ryan, with his long pocket of the ball from the wing back position, will be massive. I think Darragh Lohan is a very good defender. Adam Hogan, obviously, has been excellent last season, was very good in the final against Kilkenny, was nearly man the match in that final as well. And I think, honestly, the main reason Clare lost the game last year in the Gaelic grounds in that Munster final, it wasn't because of refereeing decisions, and it wasn't, even though I do think it was a free to Clare in the last minute, I don't think it was refereeing decisions whatsoever. I think it was Clare's inability to shoot at crucial moments of the game. They had, like, I think 50% shots or something like that in the Munster final, which wasn't good enough to beat Limerick. Against Kilkenny and against other teams, that has gone to 60, 70%. And the main, probably, culprit to that is Aidan McCarthy. When you look at the frees he's taking, like, if you have, like, Aidan McCarthy taking 11 frees in the league, he's going to take, you'd be confident that he'd take about 9 or 10 at least. And you need that to beat Limerick. There's no doubts about it. So I do think Clare have all the ingredients to beat Limerick on Sunday. Whether they'll produce on the pitch is another story. But yeah, I think Shane O'Donnell could be a massive asset to Clare, because Clare played well even without Shane O'Donnell in the round robin stages and the semi-final in the league. They just got better when he was in the team against Kilkenny in the final when he came on off the bench. So it'd be interesting to see what he can add on Sunday if he does start at his.
Ultimately, then, in terms of a prediction, what are you thinking? It's such a hard one to call this.
It's really difficult, and you could probably change your mind later in the week when you're doing these predictions. I was going to edge it to Limerick because of the inevitability of this team. I'm actually going to go for a draw, though. I'm going to go for a draw. I think it'll be a tight game. I think both sides will not give an inch. I think it'll be a draw. If it's not a draw, either side could win this by a point. But I'm going to go for a draw in the final prediction. It's going to be a difficult one to call, though.
Yeah, like, when you look at it, like, the last six games between Limerick and Clare have all been by a point. They've all been decided by a point as well. So, like, it really, really could go either way. And obviously with the fact of the final in 2022 as well, like, going to extra time. So, like, that was a draw full time. Like, funny enough, I actually backed Clare earlier in the week, and even in my All-Ireland Hurling predictions video, which I suppose would have been out a few days ago by the time people are watching this, I actually did say that I fancied Clare to win. But I'm actually now going the other way, because I just think Limerick are they're a perfect side to go and upset a party. And I could see them going to Clare, with Clare, you know, with the form that they're in, all the Clare fans believing, everybody backing them to go and do the business and get a huge win against Limerick. I could see Limerick going there, putting in a bit of a shock performance and beating them. And I think the big difference is, you know, Limerick are going to have key players back. You know, Aaron Glan is going to start. Keane Lynch is going to start. They're going to have more or less nearly their best start in 15. So I could see Limerick going there and bursting the bubble a little bit. And yeah, maybe humbling Clare a little bit. I don't think it would be a hammering or anything. I still think it would only be 1 or 2 points. But I could see Limerick going there and beating them.
Interesting, yeah. I normally back Limerick in these situations as well, because they're just an unstoppable team. And they are probably going to win the All-Ireland this year, even though AI actually believes that Tipperary will win it and stop Limerick winning the 5 in a row. But
yeah, I think that robot must be broke. I think ChatGPT needs an update.
I think it does. But having said that, though, like, when you look at the omens in this, Tipperary did stop Kilkenny's 5 in a row to drive for 5. Who's to say history can't try twice? So we'll talk about Tipperary probably next week once they get in action in Munster. But yeah, I honestly think Limerick could win the 5 in a row. And if any team are going to stop him, it's Clare. And maybe this is an opportunity for Clare in Ennis to stamp their authority on it. But honestly, I can't call it. So I'm going to go for a draw. I know it's a cop-out, but I just can't call who's going to win this game because it's so, so tight to call. Really is. And it's probably going to be game of the weekend. Well, not probably. It is going to be game of the weekend. And I just can't wait until it gets underway.
Yeah, like at the start of the week, I fancy Clare to win it. Now I fancy Limerick to win it. Maybe by the time Sunday comes around, I'll think it'll be a draw. Like it's... And again, it is that type of game where you probably change your mind in terms of how this game is going to go every 10 minutes. One thing I would be fairly certain doesn't happen is a hammering or something like that. And I've said that now. So, you know, knowing that I've said that now, like there probably will be a one-sided bat run or something like that. But I do fancy Limerick to just about edge it by, I'm going to go by a single point. Waterford and Cork up next. I suppose firstly focusing in on Waterford, one win in five against Cork in the championship in their last five games, two wins in their last eight Munster championship games as well, and both of them were against Tipperary. One win in five games this year in the league. Obviously that was against Offaly on the opening day, so it just hasn't really clicked for Waterford. And when you're listening to other previews and everything else, and I was listening to a few other podcasts, like a lot of people think Cork are going to absolutely hammer Waterford. Like a lot of people think this could be double digits and 10 plus, which don't get me wrong. I think Cork can beat Waterford, but at the same time, Waterford are not a bad team. You know, like I think maybe people are looking at it in the lens of Munster because Limerick are so good, because Clare are so good. Tipperary and Cork are in much better places now than they were a few years ago, in my opinion. So, like, what do you think about this? I mean, are Cork heavy, heavy favourites?
I wouldn't say heavy, heavy favourites. I do think we're a better team than Waterford, given form and everything like that. And I do think we did well towards the end of the league and we're coming into form at the right stage of the championship. The thing for Waterford, and Davy Fitz talked about this constantly in his post-match interviews, it's the effing third quarter. That's what it is. Because Waterford... in games against Clare, in other games in the league as well, against Wexford in particular, in Wadge Park, they were in control at halftime. And then they come out in the second half and they almost just freeze. Like, if they do that against Cork, there's no doubt it'll be a hammer. And I do think, like, it's just a bad vibe in Waterford at the moment. Just, you know, the whole Davy Fitz stuff. He's done a goal. Callan doing well in the backroom team. Like Owen Kelly, not the Waterford Owen Kelly, the Tipperary Owen Kelly in the backroom team is bizarre. I do think he'll be a brilliant coach, and he was a brilliant forward back in the day. But you just know, you could just smell he's going to Tipperary in the future. So why is he going to Waterford? It's the same as Liam Cahill. Like, and it's just, it's almost like Waterford are the sloppy seconds for everybody in Munster. Because I don't think anybody other than Dublin, let's be honest, was going to take Davy Fitz on for the next job. Mm. And it's Waterford to have took him on now. But look, they've lost Austin Gleeson, Jamie Barron. Will he play in this game? Stephen Bennett apparently is injured. I don't know, is there true to them rumours at all? Shane Bennett, will he play in this game? Desi Hutchinson wasn't himself in the league. Patrick Fitzgerald hasn't really done well in the senior show for Waterford, but the guy's 19, 20 years of age. Like, there's too much pressure being put on these lads. And yeah, ultimately, I don't think Cork are massive, massive favourites, because Waterford could easily turn it on and they could produce a good first half performance, which Cork can't come back from in the third quarter. But I'm saying, if the game is tight at half time, I expect Cork to come out like roaring lions in the second half in the third quarter down to Waterford. Because of the form that was shown in the league. Like, Waterford were really, especially in that Wexford game, that was an opportunity to stay in Division 1A. And they blew it. They blew it, simple as. And I know Wexford performed well in that second half with good goals from Simon Donoghue in that game. But, like, you question what is wrong with the Waterford mentality in that stage of a game. And they have to prove the others wrong now come Sunday. As for Cork, unlike Waterford, with their poor form in the third quarter and things like that in the league, Cork have looked really, really good since the Kilkenny defeat. And they've looked... I know they've only played Wexford, Offaly and Waterford themselves. But Cork have looked really, really good, especially in front of goal. And Patrick Horgan's done well from the frees. Alan Connolly scored 6 goals in 2 games. And he's fully fit now. So he's going to be tearing Waterford asunder, it looks like, on Sunday. You've Shane Barr coming back into the team as well. You've other players to step in, like Eaton Toomey in midfield. Will Tommy O'Connell start in midfield? So Cork have a lot of options, and they have a lot of young players coming through the ranks as well. Jack O'Connor's done well in the league from the wing forward position as well, or he can start a corner forward. So yeah, Cork are going into this quietly well into the Munster Championship. But for Watford, and it's the team that David Fitz mentions, it's the third quarter. If Watford performed badly in the third quarter yet again this Sunday, look, it's gone beyond help at this stage. So they need to prove the doubters wrong. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely, yeah. Like for Watford, like, they do have good players though at the same time. Like, when you look at it, I mean, it was only 2 years ago that people were touting them as the side to go on top of Limerick, and I think everyone believed it. Like, obviously, Derek McGrath's famous words, obviously speaking about, you know, Watford are going to be the ones going up the steps to lift the Liam McCarthy and everything else. And obviously that didn't quite transpire that year under Liam Cahill. But like, Watford do have good players. They, you know, they're all Ireland finalists in 2020 as well. So they beat Tipperary at the end of the Munster Championship last year. They showed there is a team there. There are good players there. Like, Can Davy Fitz get something out of them? Because, like, don't forget, like, Davy Fitz is a good manager. Do you know, like, he won an All-Ireland with Clare, won a Leinster title with Wexford. Do you know, like, you just feel like there has to be some sort of a plan here, because, like, if Waterford do whimper in the Munster Championship and finish bottom, as everyone's predicting, then it's an absolute waste of what I think is a very, very talented team.
And it's a weird thing, because Watford have produced very good performances even in Munster last season, and then in another game, they're absolutely terrible. Like, case in point, last season against Limerick, on any other day, they could have beat Limerick, and that was a Limerick team that went on to win 4 in a row All-Irelands. But then the next game against Cork, they scored 1 point from play in a whole half in Parky Heath. Like, that is, honestly, in a game of hurling, that's not acceptable. And then against Clare, they were out of it in that game. I think the most memorable moment from a Watford point of view in that game was the bowing in front of Davy Fitz. And that was embarrassing. Simple as. Tipperary, they did show fight, but it was too little too late. This is an opportunity now for Watford to shut the Doubters up. Can they do it? Of course they can. It's in Walsh Park. It's in front of their home venue. It'll be a pat to the rafters game in Walsh Park. And it's an opportunity for Watford to stamp their authority. But then again, in Walsh Park 2 seasons ago, when they welcomed Cork, they were massive favourites going into that game, and Cork turned up, and it was almost pitiful in the last few minutes for Watford the way they performed. So Watford cannot, it's not like they're not trying or anything like that, and I get that the Watford players are trying, but it's almost like you've had so many managers in this round robin series now. You've had, I can count Derek McGrath at the start of the round robin era. You'd have Park Fanning, you'd have Liam Cahill, and now you have Davy Fitz. And you can't produce performances in the round robin. It can't be just, and Davy Fitz is getting a lot of flack, and maybe it's a bit unfair on opponents' part and stuff like that. Because if the players are performing badly for every other manager other than Davy Fitz, the manager's not the problem, is he? It's the players. And they have to shut the Doubters up. Now, stress this on Sunday. And I think there's actually more pressure on Watford than there is Cork. I know Cork are massive favourites, but Cork have gone under the radar in a bit towards the end of the league. Pat Ryan has said, OK, we performed badly, but we've won games and things like that. But everyone's kind of expecting Cork to, you know, be there and thereabouts in Munster and maybe have pressure on for Tipperary, Limerick and Clare. But for Watford, this might be their best chance of winning any game, other than the Tipperary game, of course. So they have to grab it with both hands. And this is, again, a chance to shut down the Doubters. And what a chance to do it in front of your home attendance. But the players really have to step up here from Watford. If they don't, they could be in for a rough afternoon.
They could be, yeah. Looking like, if Watford were to lose, you know, by a point or two, but put in a valiant effort, put in a very good performance, I don't think anyone really would be berating Watford. But I just think, when you saw Waterford get hammered by Cork last year and the year before, getting beaten quite comfortably by Clare last year, there does need to be a response. There definitely does. Looking at Cork, obviously 3 wins, 2 defeats in the league. Obviously coming in on the back of 3 straight wins as well after 2 defeats in the opening 2 games. I suppose the big question about Cork is, And I suppose it's the age-old question that we've discussed about Cork over the last few years, is the starting forwards. Like, there's always a lot of rotation. There's a huge amount of options for Pat Ryan. There's obviously been a huge amount of underage success in Cork at the best of times. So I think it's been very hard for Pat Ryan to find the balance in Cork's attack. And I think it's something that Kieran Kingston very much struggled with as well. So I suppose that's the big thing for Cork. Like, what six starting forwards would you want to see start against Waterford?
That's the thing. That's the million-dollar question. Like, I looked at the last game against Wexford. They actually started a full forward line of Patrick Horgan, Alan Connolly and Shane Barrett, which is an ideal full forward line, to be fair. The half forwards, Declan Dodson, Seamus Hartney and Brian Hayes. Now, I will see this categorically. I don't think Brian Hayes will start. I think he'll be on the bench. Who will come in, though? Will Jack O'Connor come in? Like, there's loads of options. Like, even with the bench against Wexford, Jack O'Connor didn't come on. Conor Lehan came on. Shane Kingston was on the bench. Will he start on Sunday? I'm not sure. You've Luke Mead there. Like, Tim O'Mahony can play in the forward line. And even he was employed as a forward in previous seasons as well. I think they're going to start that full forward line like they did against Wexford, because Barrett adds a bit of pace into there. Connolly adds goals. And Hoggy obviously adds the freeze. And obviously, I know he's in his mid-30s and things like that. And there's an argument that he slows the team down. But look, Cork need to take freeze if they're going to beat a Limerick, a Tipperary, a Clare, and even a Waterford. They need Hoggy in the field for that, because obviously he's their best free taker. But what I was wondering as well, why isn't Ben Cunningham getting a go? Like, he's done so well for St. Finbar's in the club championship. He did well for the under-20s. And he hasn't been on panels in previous league games. So I don't know what's the story there. There's other players as well. Declan Dodson did well in the championship last season. I'd imagine Pat Ryan will go with him. Jack O'Connor as well. Seamus Hartley for experience. Like, even midfield, who will they start there? It was Darragh Fitzgibbon and Luke Mead last season. They've obviously put Tommy O'Connell into midfield this season, and he's done really, really well. Conor O'Callaghan scored a goal from midfield against Kilkenny. Will he start there? Like, the half-back line's probably set in stone, and Rob Downey, Kieran Joyce and Joe Millerick probably. And then, like, full-back as well. I'd honestly, in full-back as well, I know this is going off topic with the forwards, but I'd bring Darragh O'Leary back at the full-back. I do think he's a very good player, both for all for Watergrass Hill, for Emo Kelly in the club championship, and for Cork. I think he's just an exceptional player in the air. I do think Pat Ryan's going to go for Damien Callahan, though. I do think Damien Callahan's more suited to cornerback. It's going to be interesting there. Sean O'Donoghue, captain of the team now, will probably start. Owen Downey. Another issue as well, the goalkeeper. Well, it's not necessarily an issue, but it's a dilemma. Who does Pat Ryan go with? Brian Saunderson, who's done well for Middleton in the club championship, or Patrick Collins, who's been in the Cork starting team over the last few seasons? Million-dollar question again. So it'd be interesting actually to see what Pat Ryan's plan is, what team will he name this week. But I put it this way, Aaron, I would be shocked if Alan Connolly's not in the team. I'd be shocked if Patrick Horgan's not in the team. I'd be shocked if Seamus Hardley's not in the team. But then the other three forwards, it is a million-dollar question. I'd expect it'll probably be Declan Dalton, Shane Barrett and Jack O'Connor, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, like, what's the mood like for Cork going into the championship? Like, as we said, we've obviously got Limerick and Clare in there. A lot of people are obviously discounting Waterford, and looking like it's going to be maybe between yourselves and Tipperary for that third place position. Albeit, look, the gap, as we saw in Munster over the last few years, between first and fourth has been very, very few points. So what's the feeling going in? Like, I mean, this is a must win, really, from a Cork perspective, because if you don't win this, like, you're up against the, you know, backs against the wall type situation already, especially with Limerick and Clare still to come.
And other than that, we have the best two teams in Munster at home. So we have Tipperary and Waterford away. That makes the fixture list extra tricky for Cork. Yeah, it's a must win. It simply is a must win. I think Waterford have a lot more to prove than Cork, though. And I still think there's more pressure on Waterford to go into this game than there is on Cork. But Cork still have to produce good performances in the championship. Like, last season, there was a bit of saying, okay, it was unlucky against good Tipperary sides, Clare sides, Limerick sides. And ultimately, there was a few small things that didn't go their way. Obviously, the draw against Tipperary, that rip-roaring game in Cork, that could have gone either way. The Limerick game, the Cork at 77% shot accuracy, it was almost like Cork did everything but win in that game. The Clare game was frustrating because they played really, really poorly in Ennis, and Clare still won in the last minute. So that was frustrating for Pat Ryan to take, I'd imagine. It's a mood of, I think, because of last season and the nature of last season and the fact lots of people say Cork were unlucky, I think we have to make it out of Munster this year to kind of prove that we are still one of the top dogs in Munster. So, yeah, there's a lot of pressure on Cork. And at the same time, I think, honestly, the form we got at the end of the league and the fact we weren't in the league semi-final this year, I think would be a positive for the team because they'll go into the championship, new clean slate, get on with it. Like, Tipperary were in the semi-final of the league this year and got a lot of negatives off the Clare game, like the free taking, for example. Cork kind of got those negatives off the Kilkenny game in the semi-final last season. So will it be roles reversed this year? It'll be hard to know, but I am confident that Cork could even get out of this Munster group, this round robin, and potentially, like, if they get out of the Munster, that's the key. I think they could even go far in the All-Ireland. I do think there's good young players in this team, and I don't think they'll win Munster. I think Clare and Limerick are just better than Cork at this moment in time, but I do think with the young players there, if they get a bit of consistency, if Alan Connolly keeps hitting the back of the net, I think there's honestly no reason why Cork can't get out of Munster.
Absolutely, and you're obviously back in Cork to win. By how much?
I'm going to say less than 10. I'm going to say about 7 or 8. I think it's going to be tight in the first half, but then the third quarter, Cork will run amok of them, and Waterford will end up complaining about that particular quarter once again.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a 3-point win for Cork. I do have a feeling Waterford are going to put in a performance here. I'm just expecting there has to be something. They have to show something, especially after the last couple of years, like back-to-back years of finishing fifth in the Munster Championship. Like, they have to show something, in my opinion. If they don't show anything, then I think it's over. It's completely over. So, yeah, I'll go for Cork to win by 3. Moving on to Leinster, I suppose the big game that stands out here is Wexford against Dublin. Obviously huge for a multitude of reasons. Wexford and Dublin over the last couple of years have been very close. Dublin have gotten the better of Wexford on the last two occasions, and that's been one of the key differences that saw Dublin finishing third as opposed to fourth. Looking at it this time around, though, I think the general consensus is that Wexford are coming in a much better place than Dublin. You look at Wexford introducing a lot more of the younger lads. Seamus Casey, very, very good for Wexford this year. Corey Byrne-Dunbar, Keane Byrne, been very good as well. And then Dublin, on the other hand side, haven't really, like, it looks like Wexford have evolved a little bit under Keith Rosser. It looks like they're trying different things out. They're testing different things out. Whereas Dublin, I don't really see that under Micheál Donoghue, which is a massive shame. So Wexford going in as favourites, would you agree with that?
I would, absolutely. When you look at the league forms and things like that, and the fact that Wexford only lost one game in the league, and that was to Cork, and arguably that didn't matter at that stage. They drew against Clare. They drew against Kilkenny. They're going in with good form. And Keith Rossiter seems to be getting a tune out of these players. And even without Lee Chin and Conor McDonald in this team, and Dee O'Keefe as well in midfield, they have excelled. They've done absolutely brilliantly. Like Seamus Casey in the full forward line, as you mentioned there. Keane Byrne, I've been really impressed with him in the league. I think he's a good young player to have there. Like Ross Banville's another good young player as well. Conor McGuckin is another brilliant player. Cathal Dunbar's thereabouts. Kevin Foley works hard. Even Conor McDonald come on as a sub in the last game against Cork. Will Lee Chin come back? If Lee Chin comes back, I think that would strengthen the case even more for Wexford. I'm not sure what the situation is there. Is he injured or what's the story? Conor Hearn in midfield, Damien Rick at centre back. Like, I do think Wexford are favourites for this game. But then again, we've seen this in previous seasons. Wexford seem to be going along nicely. And then when they come up against a Dublin, a team like that, or an Antrim, or an Offaly, they fold. And they could easily do that again. I don't know. The proof is in the pudding this weekend. There's no doubts about it. Dublin will obviously give it their all. This is a huge chance to win the game. Like, realistically, Dublin are not going to beat Galway and Kilkenny. Sorry to say this, Aaron, they're not going to do it. So this is a massive game for them. They have to beat Wexford to have any chance of getting out of Leinster. And the thing is as well, it's a weird situation because I think if Wexford win, it's over for Dublin. But I think if Dublin win, then it's not necessarily over for Wexford because Wexford are more capable of beating Kilkenny than Dublin are. So, like, I don't think, honestly, Wexford can recover. if Wexford can recover from a loss, but Dublin, it'll be detrimental if they lose this game. So maybe it'll be more crucial for Dublin to go on and win this game. It will be interesting to see their the dynamics come into this game, and should be an interesting watch. But that's if you're going to the game, obviously. Ben Burney, your good friend at the Hurling Podcast in Wexford, actually put up a tweet during the week saying it. This game isn't live anywhere. RTE, GA go. And honestly, Aaron, with a crucial game like this, I think that's a disgrace. So,
wow, yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I mean, I know there is a lot on this weekend, in fairness. Like, there's a lot on about football hurling. But surely they have to have this in GA go. Like, this is a massive game. And it's probably the biggest game for both Dublin and Wexford this year, realistically. Look, Wexford have a weird record against Kilkenny. So they're probably actually more likely to get something against either Kilkenny or Galway than Dublin are, say, as an example. But like, I think it's huge for Dublin, though, because what I would say is that if Dublin do win, Dublin's next two games after this are against both Carlow and Antrim. And they're both Carlow away, Antrim at home. And in that time period, Wexford also play Galway. So there could be a scenario where Dublin beat Wexford, then beat Carlow and Antrim. And let's say Wexford lose to Galway. That means Dublin, they're already 4 points in front going into the final two games against both Galway and Kilkenny. So it makes those defeats irrelevant, essentially, because Dublin will be guaranteed to at least finish in the top three, provided both Antrim or Carlow don't do anything extravagant in that time period. So like, when you break that down, like, that makes it absolutely huge for Dublin.
Massive. I think it's a massive game for them. And yeah, at the same time, when you look at their games against Kilkenny and Galway, they seem to just flatter to deceive in those games. I know they drew to Galway last year, but maybe that was just an anomaly. I think Galway already knew themselves that they were in the Leinster final already, and they kind of just tracked along and things like that. And they made a bit of a comeback at the end. But Dublin were much the superior team in that game, and they still couldn't win. So imagine if Galway and Kilkenny are in top form. So it's going to be difficult for Dublin to see a win. But then again, Wexford were in a relegation dogfight last year and still found it in themselves to beat Kilkenny. Wexford still have this big game mentality that they can beat Kilkenny, they can beat Galway. So they'll be confident going into those games. But yeah, for this Dublin game, yeah, it's a crucial game, more so for Dublin than it is for Wexford, because I don't see Dublin beating Galway and Kilkenny. No hope. Simple as. I know Dublin have good young players coming through. There is players from the Fianna, the club champions, and they put it up to Lachlan Gaze at the club final. But I just don't see Dublin beating Kilkenny or Galway. And I've seen the highlights of their game against Limerick as well. I know that's the Limerick team. They're on the edge of history. But Dublin didn't look like a top-tier team facing against Limerick. And they didn't look like a top-tier team against Tipperary either in Parnell Park. So, like, it's not looking good for Dublin going into this championship. But then again, these sorts of games, this pairing takes a life of its own. Wexford could start off badly and Dublin could get a run of them. That's been always the way in this game. So it's a big one to comprehend. And yeah, I think Dublin, they have to go out and win this game. And I'm sure Micheál Donoghue's team will be well up for it.
Yeah, I think the one thing that stands to Dublin is that they have beaten Wexford in the last two games. I think that does stand to them, because Wexford are probably going into those games maybe as slightly favourites. So that definitely does stand to Dublin. How much are you going for in terms of Wexford? 1-2 points, or what are you thinking?
I think about 3 or 4. I think it'll be a tight game, but I think Wexford should get over the line with in front of their fans as well. I think they have to start off strong, and I'm going to go for Wexford win here.
Yeah, I think I'll edge towards Wexford as well. Like, I want to back Dublin. I want to hope that we can get something from this, but I just haven't seen it there. And I've seen a lot of improvement in Wexford, in fairness. And it does worry me. I have a feeling Wexford could blow us away and beat us quite comfortably. But I hope I'm wrong. But I am going to go for a Wexford 2-point win. The other two games in Leinster, we'll just kind of brush over these. Galway versus Carlow, Kilkenny versus Antrim. Yeah, look, Galway and Kilkenny are both going to win. I mean, I suppose that is the, you know, we talk about the Munster Championship being so competitive, the Leinster Championship in hurling, to be fair, is still a lot better than the Leinster Championship in football, don't get me wrong, and there still is a lot of good games in here. But with Carlow and Antrim, unfortunately, like, you probably are going to get a lot of one-sided games, and it's probably going to be no different this weekend.
No, it's not. Galway should win under Cancer against Carlow, and Carlow, to be fair to them, they did well in the Division 2A and the Joe Mantello Cup as well. But the levels are, unfortunately, Carlow lost to Laois in that league final. Galway were playing against the likes of Tipperary and Limerick in the last few seasons, and they were quite, you know, respectable in those scorelines in those games. So, yeah, I don't see anything other than Galway being. It's similar to Kilkenny as well, but it will be interesting to see what sides they put out. Will they put out second teams? I'd imagine they will, both managers. But word on Antrim, actually, we said they were pretty bad in the league, and they're missing a few players. There's rumours that Keelan Malloy is actually coming back into the team for Antrim, so that's a big boost to stay up in Leinster. So we'll have to see how that transpires in the next few weeks. And you have Joe McLaughlin scoring a load of goals in the club championship. Will he get more game time for Antrim? Remains to be seen. But yeah, God, Kilkenny to win those games easily. And yeah, I think with Carlow and Antrim, unfortunately, you're going to get a lot of one-sided games, and that's just the way it is.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I suppose we'll touch on the Joe McDonagh Cup action. So we've got Laois versus Offaly, I suppose, is really the standout game here. Obviously, Laois came up from Division 2 as champions, which was absolutely huge from their perspective. Offaly, obviously, at the same time, Division 1 this year, had some okay-ish performances, albeit they were beaten quite comfortably in a lot of them. Like they drew at Wexford, I remember, as a standout game. They've been knocking on the door of getting out of Joe McDonagh for a while. You do obviously have Westmead in the Joe McDonagh as well, and they're probably going to be one of the key favourites. But this is a massive game, because you feel like whoever can get the edge here puts themselves in a strong, strong position to get to the Joe McDonagh Cup final.
Absolutely, yeah. And wore them awfully as well. They did very well in the league, in fact. Like, other than I'd say the Cork game, where Aaron Connolly went goal crazy in Tullamore, I think Offaly were very competitive in all their games this year. They drew against Wexford. They were beaten by Kilkenny due to just the second half blitz. They were leading against Kilkenny in Nolan Park at half time. They lost to Clare by a point. And against Waterford, I think they had a guy sent off, and it changed the complexion of that game. So I think they were very, very competitive, to be fair, awfully, and they deserve a lot of credit for that. Laois themselves got a lot of positives out of the league, and this is why it's such a difficult one to call. Paddy Porson was brilliant in midfield, may I, in Division 2A, especially in that final against Carlo. I'm going to go for Offaly, though. I know they're away from home in Port Laois, but I just feel Offaly, they need to get out of this Joe McDonagh. I do think, on a side note as well, the Joe McDonagh is going to be very, very competitive this year. Look at the teams in it. You have Laois, you have Offaly, you've Westmead, who competed well against the Division 1 sides as well. Kerry, who were knocking the door in the last few seasons as well. And yeah, I think it'd be very, very competitive, especially between Westmead, Offaly and Laois. But I think Offaly will take one step towards the final at Croke Park and win this game against Laois.
Yeah, I'm gonna go for a draw, I think, on this one. I'm going to play my draw card for this one. Like, Laois are coming in, as you said, in very, very good form. Stephen Pickey-Mars obviously looks very, very impressive for Laois so far this year. But as you said, like, awfully need to get out of Joe McDonagh. They've been knocking on the door the last few seasons, but I'm going to go for a draw. Westmead versus Kerry, you mentioned about them there. David Williams has been outstanding for Westmead. 2 goals, 44 points. Actually, the top scorer in the entirety of the National Hurling League, which is some going for a Westmead player, and probably hasn't got the praise that it really much deserves. But Westmead at home, they've obviously been playing at a much higher level all year. You'd fancy them to be Kerry?
Yeah, unfortunately. Look, I want Kerry Hurling to develop, but at the same time, Shane Conway has actually left the panel. There's rumours that he's gone out of the panel in the last few weeks, so that's a huge loss to Kerry Hurling. Massive. So, yeah, I'm going to go for Westmead. They look very good in the league, in Division 1 in particular. David Williams, as you mentioned there, and you've other players as well. Will Kieran Doyle come back into it? Killian Doyle, all them. Like, if they come back into it, Wexford could be unstoppable. You have other players like Shane Williams as well. I don't know if him and David are related, but Shane's another excellent corner forward there for Westmead. So, yeah, I'd fancy Westmead to go on and win the game. And Kerry, unfortunately, because they were in a few Joe McDonagh finals in a row and they should have won a few, then the likes of Shane Conway step away. Fiona McKessie thinks about playing football and things like that. It doesn't help. So I'm going to go for a Westmead win. It's unfortunate for Kerry, but yeah, it's just the way it is, Aaron, isn't it? If sides, they get kind of to a ceiling, and if you can't get higher than that, players just drop out. And it's just unfortunate for Kerry in many ways, and Stephen Malumphy, who's managing this year. So, you know, I'm going to go for Westmeath to win the game.
Yeah, I think so as well. I'll go for Westmeath to win it by 4. And Down versus Meath is the last one. You feel like this is maybe at the opposite end of the spectrum in the Joe McDonough. Meath are arguably the favourites to go down, and pardon the pun there, but Down themselves, like, they could arguably go down as well. Like, they're certainly in the conversation. So, big game this.
Thing is, well, Meath have start after the league campaign, it's been a hard few weeks for them. Saoirse Bolton, their manager, actually stepped down because of family commitments. So obviously wishing Saoirse all the best. But yeah, that's a huge loss to Meath. Huge loss to Meath hurling. And it doesn't help going into the John McDonagh Cup, losing a manager like that. And Down on the other end, they have a manager that's there for, you know, for getting the best out of Down hurling. Ronan Sheehan, very good coach. He still appears up with quick arm there, very good hurler. Yeah, I'm going to go for Down to win this game. And I think Down could actually finish fourth in this because of the way Kerry and Meath are actually set up in this division. It's just Westmeath, Offaly, and Meath are too good for Down, unfortunately, for their sakes. But yeah, I'm going to go for Down to win it.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that as well. I'd probably put Down into fourth. They are the type of team as well that are probably can pull off a bit of a surprise and a bit of a shock every now and again. So you certainly wouldn't be against it. And fairness, before we finish up then, in terms of player of the week, bet of the week, what are you thinking?
Player of the week, I'm going to go for Alan Connolly for Cork. Like, if he scores another hat-trick, that'll be a triple hat-trick. So
three in a row, wouldn't it?
Three in a row, yeah. So if he could do that, that'll be probably a record that can't be touched. It's absolutely incredible, and he's well able to hit the back of the net, the Black Rock man. So yeah, I'm gonna go for Alan Connolly as player of the week. For surprise of the week or bet of the week, I'm trying to look here because I'm looking down through the divisions, Christy Ring and all them. It's a tight one because you can't really expect a surprise in Munster. Leinster probably not either. Wexford are gonna beat Dublin. This is a tough one. I'm looking through the games here. I'm gonna go in the Laurie. I know the Nicky Rocker Cup. I'm gonna go for Lowe to beat Armagh. Why not? Just that.
There we go. Yeah, that's an interesting one. As well. Yeah, just on the Christy Ring. Like, obviously, we had games last week. Kildare obviously beating Sligo quite comfortably as well. So, we didn't quite get the games that we wanted to see. You know, we were hoping we'd get to see some of the Christy Ring Cup matches, but Kildare obviously back on the hall. You'd fancy them to come back up in the Christy Ring.
Oh yeah, definitely. Again, they did a very good performance now against Sligo last week, and Carl Dowling getting 2 goals, and they've good players all over the field. They've Brian Dowling there as manager, former Kilkenny Camogie manager, who's won 2 All-Ireland titles as coach. So yeah, I think Kildare should come back straight back up from the Christy Ring Cup. And to be honest, Kildare shouldn't be in that division anyway. Let's be honest. I think they are a better team than Kerry. I think they're a better team than Meath, potentially Down as well. So like, Kildare shouldn't be in the Christy Ring. But just on a side note as well, it's about Sunday game, Aaron. They were talking about the Leinster structures, and Paul Flynn and Sean Kavanagh was bringing out the tactics board of the Fermanagh Armagh game, and there was no time for Christy Ring, Nicky Rackard, all them competitions. It's just that was a perfect opportunity last week, and the Sunday game blew it. Simple as. And I'm sure myself and Seamus will do that video about ideas in the GAA. That's probably going to come soon. Keep your eyes peeled for that one. But one of the ideas is clearly just to show more games in these competitions. Use Clubber, use Stream Sport, all these sites, just to show these games, show what good hurlers there are. And it's a bit hypocritical from RT as well. They did an episode about developing hurling, inviting the Low captain and the Westmeath manager in, and yet they don't show Christy Ring, Nicky Rackard, Laurie Maher games last week when there was plenty of time. Like, I don't get it. I really don't. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it is very disappointing, in fairness, and considering there wasn't many games to show, and a lot of the games were very one-sided as well. Like, there was no need to go into it in big detail. But yeah, like, looking at the games in the Christy Ring this weekend, you've got Derry against Tyrone, you've got London against Sligo, Kildare are playing Wicklow as well. And then looking at the Nicky Rackard Cup, you've got Monaghan against Roscommon, Donegal against Mayo, and Louth versus Armagh. And then in the Laurie Mar Cup, then you've got Lancashire against Leitrim, you've got Fermanagh versus Cavan, and Warwickshire versus Longford. So hopefully we get to see some of these games at some point. Maybe obviously not this year, it's not going to change, but maybe next year it can be something they look at. In terms of my player of the week, I'm gonna go for Aaron Glan for Limerick. I mean, I know that's a bit of a boring one, but I think he's the ability to tear Clare's defense inside and out. And bet of the week, as you said, there isn't really any there. If there was one, I would maybe edge towards. I think Limerick beating Clare in some ways is a bet of the week, because I think Clare may be going in as slightly favourites. I'd look at Waterford beating Cork, maybe not, but to keep the margin under 3 or 4, I think is very, very possible. But there we go. Yeah, let us know in the comments, anyone who's tuned in, your predictions and your preview for the weekend's games. Thank you to Matthew for tuning, for coming on the show. Make sure to check out the Gaelic Statsman podcast when you get a chance, and we'll speak to you all.